Hello fam, and welcome to another episode of the Barman's Barbecue, where we slay sacred cows, roast them, and serve them as they hot.
Hi guys!
Yep, ladies and gentlemen.
Gentlemen!
Yeah, so what do I want to rant about today?
No, wait, first of all, what have you been doing? Okay, let me see what I've been doing. Me, I've been learning French. I've learned how to swim. I have learning digital arts, and I've been reading Refuse to Choose by Barbara Sher and Sensual Faith by, I can't remember her name, but there are two people. What have you been doing tomorrow? Tomorrow I'll be baking bread for Red Kings.
Yeah, so
I'm making you go from scratch tomorrow, yes, I
mean. Yeah, so we bake, I'm a baker now.
And they have a business, guys. They are our sponsors for today's podcast.
Patronize us.
If you're living in the city of Osakot or Bayelsa, and like, this is the best banana bread. I don't know why they call it bread at this point.
Yeah.
In the South.
Yeah.
Quote me anywhere.
Il est génial. Il est super.
Il est très. What's fresh here?
No. Il n'est pas cher. It's not expensive. Yeah. So, and also I've been.
I've not finished bragging. Okay. I've been baking biscuits, yogurt, and cakes. Stay tuned to this podcast to know what we'll be making next.
Yes, and then I've also been building apps.
Yes,
I've been customizing apps for businesses.
Mm.
Right, and I have I have a customer now.
And we're all joining one football team when he goes to play football.
Yeah, Abba Bola.
He used to be limping and coming back, but he gives him pure joy. So what can we say?
Yeah, I'm really good at playing football.
Yeah,
I'm
really good at everything that you do. Yeah. Don't push you on to professional pipeline.
Yeah, so but now I want to... I don't know that I want to rant. No rant, yeah. But I've been stressed out for some time.
What stress are you?
You know, just some acquaintances coming to my DM to worry me when they have chosen not to repent. So I've been calling, and many times I told them that they should repent from their idolatry.
Amend your ways.
They should repent. And this podcast is a call to repent, right? How people are basically idolizing the Bible. Right, and I've said it time and again.
God, the Son, and
God, the Holy Scripture. You know, so people have placed God, and they've placed
the Bible above God.
They've placed the Bible above God, and I feel like it's a very convenient thing to do, right? Because of when you deify Scripture, when you make Scripture, when you make the Bible a member of the Godhead, you are basically placing your interpretation of the Bible above other people. It now becomes a tool to put people in line, right? And I feel like it's just like in politics, you know, those godfathers, those silent godfathers who do everything within their power to place their person in power. So if their person is in power, they know that they can, from behind the scenes, just control this person and have their way. So similarly, I feel like when people act like, you know, they say that, you know, they are a Bible-believing church, you know, you don't need to be a Bible... believing church, like what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Like, I need to believe the Bible. I mean, is the Bible God? I mean, okay,
Bible is the word of God.
No, but I mean, like, okay,
it is inspired, but like, I have a problem with this too. But I don't even know where to begin.
Okay, of what danger is it that I do not believe the Bible? I mean, is the Bible my Lord and personal Savior? Oh, my Savior.
You believe that's how you get to know God?
Without the Bible, God is knowable. Like, we are grateful, like, again, so I honor and I love the Bible. And this, my rant, is that I really love the Bible. That's, I pay the Bible so much respect. I've spent so much time, energy, resources, prayer and everything to understand and love my Bible more.
Which includes reading other books.
Yeah. And
talk more about the Bible.
And by knowing the Bible, I am able to see the Bible for what it is and what it is not. Right, and what the Bible is a library of books, like different recording people's encounter or people's perception of their relationship with God.
Like you like to say, God lets the student tell stories.
Yes.
And the Bibles are those stories, those poems, those analogy of who people would say God is.
Yeah, and it's okay. So but you know, you see, people have now like, okay, now so Mirabella, okay, let's act like you are the pro Bible person, right? So can you tell me one place in Scripture, right, where the Bible claims it is the Word of God?
That place now that it said the Bible was given for you.
All Scripture. Okay. Okay. Question is that. Paul said that all Scripture is given by God. I'm not quoting it right, but okay. So let's look at that Scripture now. In that Scripture, what was Paul referring to when he said all Scripture? Was it that all the Bible? Because at that time, the Bible was not even compiled.
So not canonized. Yes.
So how can you say that all Scripture is given by God for, you know, so that every all Scripture is inspired by of God? So it's given by inspiration of God for reproof, for instruction in righteousness.
It's like, first of all, they don't even understand the concept of something being inspired by something.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like,
so inspired is not dictation.
Yes. Chimamanda's Half of Yellow Soul was inspired by the Biafran War.
Yeah.
It's not that, it is hoha.
Yeah.
What happened? So people mistake that inspired to say that, oh, God sat down, I was telling you.
That is God breathed. That God breathed.
Yes. It's what?
God did not dictate. In fact, like, okay, we say that the Bible is the Word of God. Okay. When we say that all Scripture is inspired of God, like, and it's God breathed. We are thinking it's kind of like God dictated, you know.
But also in the same breath, a lot of us now believe that the Bible is the Word of God, Jesus is the Word of God.
Mm.
But believe it in theory, but not in practice, because people still come back and like, but I thought you said Jesus is the Word of God, not that the Bible is the Word of God. Why are you?
Oh, okay, look at this now. Christians want to relate with the Bible the way the Muslims relate with the Quran. So the Muslims believe that the Bible has actually been doctored by people writing it down or interpreting or doing whatever, they have watered down the original thing. So what Allah did was to now come down and now dictate the Quran in the original language
to Muhammad.
Verbatim to Muhammad.
Oh, okay.
So, to the Muslims, they believe that Muhammad now has the updated. He came to correct the errors from the Torah and the Ejin. The Ejin is the, I think, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's the Gospels.
Oh, okay.
So that's why in the Quran you see references of Isa, Jesus. You see Rabbi Mary. They say in the Quran, they even Jesus, I think he. Clay to bird. He made a clay bird and he breathed life into the bird and it's just, you know. So the Muslims, they feel like the Quran is the unadulterated word of God that came straight from the mouth of Allah through his prophet Muhammad for people, so that people will not be in doubt. Right, so but now that's kind of like, so that's the kind of relationship that Christians want to have with the Bible.
That's what they have. That the Bible was
God breathed, it was inspired, that it was dictated or by God, you know. But we know that it's not. So even within the Bible, right, the Bible does not call itself. So in fact, you will not even see a reference of the Bible in the Bible.
Do you know?
Because of in the Bible, you will not see how the Bible was compiled. You will not see why there are 66 Protestant books. You will not see why Catholic book is how many.
Do you know, my family grew up believing that the Catholic Bible is just his agenda, because what are those extra books for? And it's so weird growing up now knowing that there were other books. There's a book of, who's this guy that did not die that disappeared to
us? Enoch.
Yes, there's a book of Enoch, which contains really interesting stories, guys.
Mm.
There are other books I hear, books of Joshua, this one, that one. So, but why do they feel like, and it's not just the Bible, but the King James.
And okay,
go.
And interestingly, so a friend of mine asked like about translations.
Mm.
And first, every translation is an interpretation. You know, and like this is like I recently was reading, there's a verse, John 3:36. It says that he that believes not, the wrath of God abides in him.
Mm.
So, okay, this is my interpretation, right? So, the wrath of God. So, but the question is that why did the interpreter use wrath in that text?
Mm.
The word there for wrath is orgy. Orgy. And that's where we have orgy. And,
a
translation of the word orgy there is passion.
Oh, okay.
If you don't believe, the passion of God abides with you.
So I feel like people just sat down and thought, okay, these are the possible meanings of this word. These are the synonyms and antonyms. So which one do
which
I take?
One will I
bring?
Yeah.
It's like when I was reading Central Faith, and she was talking about how she went to theology school, and there was a part in the Bible where she met one of the translations, and she was like, oh, this Ruth and Naomi story. But feet, the word literally means it's a private part, penis. So why didn't you use that word? Like, there's no way I can go to church and say penis now. So I was like, so you're giving us interpretation based on vibes or what? So we're now going, because if you now say penis, it gives a whole different story and meaning to the story. And these people have been using to preach strategic positioning, but now they don't know that it's fornication. So how do you preach on it?
So, remember, you're saying that the idiom, the idiomatic expression to uncover one's feet
is that she slept with him, and she gave him the head or something like that. But it's a very sexual
thing.
Sexual thing. And so now it just changes the whole thing. It's like when Pete Enns was saying how Song of Solomon is a love letter from a guy. It's a very sexual, erotic love letter. But Christians would be like, is the relationship between Christ and the body?
Yeah.
Is it really?
So again, yeah, exactly. So it's back to there are layers to Bible interpretation.
True.
So the first layer is the literal layer. By the literal layer, you are first checking what genre of literature is this?
Exactly.
You know what is being communicated. What did the original writer intend to communicate?
Mm.
What would the original listeners hear? You know, what political reasons motivated this writing?
Yeah, the culture of the time.
So that's the first layer, the literal. Then there is the allegorical layer or the spiritual sense. And this is in this spiritual layer, which is the higher sense and the place we all are expected to come to, it is subjective.
Yes, it's open to different.
That's why, you know, and Paul did it a lot. When Paul and Jesus, they were creative, they had mad creative interpretations of texts, you know, like, you see, and which, if you go back in time to the verse they were referring to, and you read it, you see that,
this is not
what they're talking about.
Jesus.
But basically, and in the book Romans for Normal People, the author said that an interpretive key they used is that they use the present to make sense of the past. So when, and you see it a lot in the Bible, when something happens in their present, they will say that this thing happened so it will be fulfilled what that said.
No.
You understand? They didn't use the past
to interpret
the present. So, but what we are doing now, we are using the past
to interpret the present.
We are basically a pillar of salt, right? Because we will not, again, evolve. We will not move forward.
Yeah, and when we're so bent on this thing that we try to, even things that the Bible didn't say, we are so sure
that the Bible is complete
and full and this.
Yeah.
And somehow the Bible being so futuristic that even says something about your use of social media and like,
so yeah, exactly. We claim that the Bible is God's perfect instructions manual.
Come on.
That every single damn thing that we will ever see in this world in the future is in the Bible.
I mean, in
a sense,
if we do the second level of interpretation, people are honest with ourselves. And that's why different churches, different sects have their own different interpretations and different meanings and different... I remember someone was saying something recently about how people who don't read fiction are always feeling a certain sense of pride. And they're very myopic, and it's true. I remember Karen Swallow saying that if you really want to understand the Bible, you have to be somebody who reads widely.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be someone who reads fiction, you have to be someone who reads poetry, you have to be someone who understands different things, even quantum physics. Somehow reading other things helps you understand the Bible, because it was written by different writers with different experiences from different perspectives. It's like the account of Jesus.
Yeah.
You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but you can see how different they were based on who wrote. But people are just like, no.
Yeah.
This is what he says. Yeah, and amen. But that's what the Bible says. It talks about homosexuality. No, now it talks about what's the word when a senior man abuses a junior man,
okay,
like father,
okay,
and that's
more
than talks about homosexuality. You get. So I feel like once I meet people like that, it's like when you said that you're not the one going to give strength to people who don't read other books and are bent on only reading this book, only interpreting through this book. I won't do it if you're not someone that reads fiction. Because what I'm saying, you can't understand it within your context. It's like, how convenient that you're using the Bible to defend the Bible for the Bible.
Yeah.
But not understanding what the Bible actually says. You don't understand culture. You don't, like someone was saying the other day on Twitter, how Esther snatched somebody's online sis. Esther snatched those man. She just Esther didn't have a choice. Esther was a prisoner. They took him from the try and read about history. In that case, you'll now be like, you have not read about history.
Yeah.
So you're using this present.
Yeah.
Or you're using the past to interpret the present, see? Because you're now looking at Esther and Vashti as the
You want to judge her with today's standards.
Today's standards is not a story of side chick and this thing, it's a story of power, domination. Hey you. Take on the girls, whether you like it or not. It's not as if Esther could have said, duh, you're married. It's so...
Yeah.
So it's very unbearing, really. And I promise myself I'll stop having those.
Yeah, so again, like, so my take is that, so the God of whom the Bible speaks of is alive and knowable, whether the Bible is there or not. We are grateful for the biblical record. But without the biblical record, if this Jesus died, if Jesus lived, died, was buried and resurrected, it is still knowable whether the Bible was written or not.
It's like this lady on Twitter that was saying her father told her the reason why he doesn't kill and steal and kill because it's written in the Bible. And she was like, her father-in-law, she told him that please never stop reading the Bible. Because if you need a book to tell you to be kind to people, to not kill, to not steal, brah.
That's a beauty to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you wake up now, you find that the Bible was not real, it was borders. So will you go and do all the things that you do
understand
when you know common sense and kindness, this is not what you should do. In your heart of heart, you know this is not right. But because the Bible is like when people do bad things and then somehow look at the Bible and you're like, but that's not what the Bible is saying.
Yeah, so I mean, like I said, I love the Bible. Right, but what this rant is about is to call all ye brothers and sisters to repent from biblical idolatry.
Yes.
Right, and again, when people even call or refer to the authority of the Bible, right, it's because of it's for people who sent the Bible that you summon the Bible as a basis to convince them. Like when Paul was preaching to the Athenians, he didn't quote the Bible for them.
You guys, bruh.
Because of...
I tried to explain to people, you go and meet a Muslim that believes their own Quran, who had the way you believe your Bible, and you're trying to convince them based on your own book.
Yeah, so
what makes you think your book is important to them all of a sudden because it's in your own book?
So the reason why Jesus quoted scripture is because of scripture was an important one to the Jews.
That context.
The context in which he lived. He could not have been quoting quantum physics to people
to
their culture, right? So there's no authority, there's no Newtonian authority, he could not communicate.
And I know you see when he was talking to normal people, he used stories,
yes,
that everybody
yeah.
knew. And I can't believe the time I saw that those stories were real.
You know, so I feel like it is so again, so like scriptural authority, the authority of scripture. It is for people who have given scripture that authority, you know?
Mm.
So it's not as if God has sanctioned or God has locked himself up in the pages of the book. Like
yeah, I remember that doctor, he was preaching where we're always pushing God into the Bible to fit
into
it. It was fitting.
Yeah, exactly.
And somebody came out like, yes, but yeah, God is not outside the Bible. I was like, bruh, please.
And like, are you serious?
Bruh,
are you serious?
What I say, God, this God of the universe, the galaxy, and the Milky Way.
So that is the, when you open the Bible, God just popped out.
So if there are other civilizations apart from Earth, in other planets, and you're telling me it's the same Bible that you're using, like, waiting to know God.
The Bible is just a library of books, of which we are grateful for.
Yeah.
We are thankful for it.
Of course, children telling stories.
Yeah, of course, children telling stories. People narrating their encounters. And again, back to that saying that people say that you are the Bible that people read.
Exactly.
So in your relationship and in your encounter with people, you can now relate or have an encounter with God. In the scripture, like you see, like accounts of people who say that if you don't love the person who you do, you can see, how can you love the God that you cannot see? So, meaning that in every interaction with your neighbor, you are interacting with God, whether the Bible was there or not.
And what's that thing that quote that Paul ends quote? And I like how Paul ends was like, it's the same it's the same interpretation we give other books to.
Yeah.
Same interpretation we give movies. What movies that we give interpretation? We know a teacher that likes to use Marvel movies to teach. It's the same interpretation. What's that quote that you put on your status?
Yeah, I can't. I didn't memorize it.
I was supposed to screenshot it. But yeah, we're calling out Bible, biblical idolatry.
Yeah, so I'm just begging, beseech you, therefore, men and brethren, to repent from your ways.
And we use it a lot to do evil things, because like we don't call out things, we'll be like, honor in the Bible is not saying that you should cover up for things that need to be spoken out about.
Yeah, so if you see something in the Bible that does not sit well with the love in your heart, then reject it.
Reject it.
Or like ask God, like, Lord, what's happening here?
So I feel like if it doesn't even sit well, you ask yourself, okay, am I sure the interpretation I'm giving to this scripture is incorrect?
Yeah.
Don't find the quote. That quote was so good. So well, you should have the quote. Please bring out the quote.
Okay. What is...
Well, let me quote this quote in the meantime. A person's ability to grow is directly related to the amount of truth they can accept about themselves. I don't know how this got. I thought it was going to say something. I was going to learn more. I mean, and please read other books apart from the Bible. I don't think it's very smart, or it doesn't show any loyalty to say that the Bible is the only book you read in this life. I don't know. I'm not sure Jesus will be happy with you.
Yeah.
Have you seen the quote?
No. So we are looking for a quote. But yeah, basically, that's just my rant. Yeah.
And it's valid because.
And again, so those so the verses people use that. So when I asked a friend about, okay, show me Bible verses where the Bible claims the Bible to be the word of God. And he said that the whole of Psalm 119. I said, Psalm 119, where David would be like, your word did this, your word did that.
Psalm 119.
Psalm 119, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I'm not like, the word there, is it the Bible? It doesn't say the Bible. The word there is maybe the word that David must have heard God say in prayer, or or at best is the Torah.
That's why I'm not interpretation where you take word everywhere to mean Bible.
So people will just like everywhere they see the word of God is
they
the
just
Bible.
Take it to the Bible.
Yeah, meanwhile that the word of God there is that maybe like thus saith the Lord. So what followed there
what followed,
is
yes.
the word of God. But the thus saith is not, and again it's not even English or but the rant.
A good rant.
Yeah, so I hope with these few points of ours, we have been able to convince you to seek to have an encounter with the living God. Do not be afraid, because of this God of whom the Bible testifies is real and knowable. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves.
Is that the quote? What does that sound very good?
It's a Bible verse, Psalm 100.
Oh,
we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Yeah, so... Can't remember the guy's name. Anyway, so in the absence of that, Marola, any final words for?
They could not try to read other books, read fiction, read poetry, read everything. Like I remember when Paris said something like, before people could transmit scriptures, they used to make sure that they had learned history, they had learned math, they had learned culture, they had learned all those things before they now allowed them to come and start interpreting scriptures, because you needed to understand those contexts before you came and started interpreting scriptures, which makes sense. Now anybody can just pick up the Bible that doesn't understand poetry, that doesn't understand idioms, that don't understand. Like when I was young, my mom used to say that to understand the Bible, you need to understand English. I feel like you need to understand a lot more than English.
Then there are a lot more than English. And to understand the Bible now, like then we just have to go to the original Hebrew or Greek. Because of like some interpreters do wonders. And so when we act like the Bible is again inspired, whatever that means, we then act like we think or we assume that the translators were also inspired.
We're also inspired, like who have.
Yeah, and I wanted to even say this that a friend posted something that made me go and read a book I've read before about Bible interpretations, I mean Bible translations. So the King James is not the oldest translation. Actually, the King James copied the Bishop's Bible.
Oh.
About 75%. So the King James never go to the original Hebrew or Greek.
Oh, it's it went to another Bible that was translated.
Bishop's Bible that was translated from Hebrew and Greek to English. So that's the Bishop's Bible.
So that's like,
so there are two Bibles that predated the King James, the Geneva Bible and the Bishop's Bible. And so the King James copied like 75% from the Bishop's Bible. Then the New King James is simply making the old King James easier to read. So they did not go back to the original
text.
That's one. Then then you now have literal translations. So literal translations, like Young's literal translation, it goes back to the original and translates word for word. Right, so without making grammatical sense, it just translates word for word. So that's the literal translation, which is even better than maybe sometimes the King James. It gives you an idea what the author.
No, that Jews have a separate from it's just.
Then there is the NIV, which translates thought for thought. So they will take like a chunk, like a sentence.
Also, basically, what you're saying is that different
translations
use different. Some people are translating thoughts. Some people are translating words.
Yeah. So that's what now King James copied from the Bishop's Bible, right? Which was maybe I think it was a thought for thought. I'm not sure. But now the NIV is a thought for thought. So it will take like a sentence, like say what they're trying to communicate here, and reproduce. So it goes to the original text. Right, and translate. That's why there are some verses and some people now use this to accuse the NIV
of being satanic.
Not that one. Say where it takes out parts of it, a verse. For instance, now maybe in the King James, you see there is therefore now no condemnation
to them,
right, to those who are in Christ Jesus. But in a place like the NIV, it's possible that there's therefore now no condemnation. There's no condition.
Yes,
there's definitely no condition to those who are in Christ Jesus. Then who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So that who walks not after the flesh is not in some translation. Why? Because there's what they call the Septuagint, and which is the Greek New Testament, it's the Greek version of the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament is originally in Hebrew. But then it was not translated from Hebrew to Greek. So Jesus, where he grew up, they spoke Greek, right? So they must have used the Greek version. So the earliest translation of the Hebrew Old Testament was the Septuagint. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah, it's making sense.
Yeah. So some people now translate. If you are translating the Septuagint, it will give you a different vibe or feel than if you are translating something else. Yeah, so there's something like, you see like the LXS, if you see some of all these things. But anyway, so I first said that the KJV copied the Bishop's Bible. The NIV is the thought translation from the original. Right? That's why there are some things you'll not see in the NIV. Then the literal translations, they are word-for-word translations. They're not even concerned about whether it's easy to read. So which is also good. It's helpful to get...
Amplified in word-for-word.
Amplified is maybe amplification of King James. I don't know. Then there are paraphrases, like the Message Bible.
The Message, that's the Message.
So the Message is a paraphrase, many times is a paraphrase of the King James. Right, which it goes to the King James, and you know, to paraphrase it. Then you now have there's another Bible. Okay, an American Standard Bible, NASB. That one. It goes back to the original, and then it's mindful of the tenses. You know, there's some kind of Bible tenses you will read, and let's say be filled with the Spirit. But let's say I don't know if you've heard Pastor say that it is actually the being filled in the spirits. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to yourself in psalms and spiritual songs. But in something like NASB, to be the being filled with the Spirit. So basically, adopting the tenses used by the original translation.
Okay.
Right. So again, you see the spectrum, and there are hundreds of, or even thousands of Bible translations, and are they inspired? Right. So we have to, work with God. So it's in our relationship with God that we do the work of interpretation. And
all
so,
the favorite
Bible, the
Mirror Bible.
Yeah, I like the Mirror Bible.
From
which,
part of yeah.
So the Mirror Bible is it claims to. It looks like a paraphrase, and at the same time, because in the Mirror Bible, it's every word used, it's like explains like
no,
this is
not,
the word used and stuff like that, which is also a good Bible study too. So you see, I take my Bible seriously.
You should.
So people,
if you would, you even read more to understand it.
Yeah, and to understand, you know, where did this. So, bonus. So, talking about Bible texts, yeah. So, why do we have 66 books?
Okay, good. Why do we have 66 books?
Yeah, so, according to Jonathan Wilton's book, Understanding the Whole Bible, it was like one of the ways, a possibility, why they came to the number 66. One is the book of Isaiah. So the book of Isaiah is kind of like a foreshadowing of the Bible. The book of Isaiah has 66
chapters. Interesting.
Right? So, and before, Isaiah had two parts, first Isaiah and second Isaiah.
That's first Isaiah.
Yes, and the first Isaiah is from chapter 1 to chapter 39. Then from 40 to 66 is, and it's from 40 to 66, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. That's John the Baptist, you know. So from 40, and that is from Isaiah 40 to 66. That's where you now have lots of all those, Jesus prophecies, the suffering servant. Isaiah 53, and all this is from Second Isaiah, which kind of like, I mean, Isaiah 66, it looks so much like Revelation that talks about maybe the lion and the lamb chilling together without, and there shall be no more death, and all this kind of vibe. So there's a school of thought that the book of Isaiah is kind of like a prototype upon which is 66 books of Bible picked one. The second thing is a verse from scripture. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path.
Mm-hmm.
So according to Wilton, the design of the candelabra, which is the light actually in the temple. So if you read the book of Leviticus, that be one of all those books in the Pentateuch that gave detailed description of how the lamp
should be
designed, you know, made of gold and how, you know, made of almond designs. So according to him, if you count from one end to the middle, it is 39, and from there to the end is 27. So it was modeled after the lamp in the temple. Yeah, but like, so you see, I'm not saying this to say that
there's another system for the books that they selected. We're not really that yet. Why they selected the particular books that they selected,
and so some of the, again, for the New Testament, most of the New Testaments were picked based on apostolic authorship. That is to say, an apostle's name must be assigned to the book, or an apostle must back the book for the book to make the cut. So for instance, now Matthew was an apostle, so he makes the cut. Mark was backed by Peter. John is John, an apostle.
I'm smelling elitism in this.
Yeah, thing. Then all the
man or man.
Because
you don't get messy to back your book
right there. You know, so there are some books that were what they call pseudepigrapha, where someone uses another person's name, right, so that the book will gain clout. So something like the book of Thomas, right? So scholars have it that it's not actually the apostle Thomas that wrote it, but somebody has just wrote it, maybe Gnostic writings, they wrote it and now placed
the apostle's name.
Yeah, and just like, again, some people argue like maybe the book of Mary.
Actually, like, now that you said, I would like to Gnostic Bible, because I heard the Bible is different.
Mm.
Also, we heard culturally and historically, the Bible the slaves used were different from the ones that slave master used.
Mm.
That they suddenly removed some parts that would have given them the idea of freedom.
Yeah.
So, do you know? So, there are a lot of things that have to consider this book.
Yeah, so, but again, so the good thing about, or the major purpose of the Bible is to show us that there is a God. Right, that is personal or that is relational and can be known, Right? And if the Bible has done its work, you will meet this girl. Right?
And God is not stone, that he cannot stop him. She's like, let's read it together. Yeah. I'm like, my child, whether I like it or not, this is how it's going to go. Whether I like, if you don't want to do it, I'm sorry.
Oh, we act like if we want to talk to God, God say,
have you gone to read my word?
And like, that's why, like, I didn't even, what is the password? If you don't quote the Bible verse,
everyone at the teacher, they thought that if you want to pray,
you must go. No, I used to do that. After
I support scripture.
I was baptized in Higgin. I remember if I listen to one sermon so much. So it'd be like, can I used to go to as people are praying. Like, he did a poll study. It was like, that's where he came up with the conclusion that 70% of prayers are unscriptural. So what it is, like, any woman kneeling down and praying, you go and meet her, anybody, he doesn't like, what are you praying about? And when they say, it will be like, there's no scriptural backing, so there is no, you get, so it will be like, you have to. So because of that, me subconsciously, even like, and I was even judging churches. I had to judge pastors. Like, that's why I don't even pray die by fire prayers. Because of, like, again, it's not scriptural. It's not biblical.
I mean, there's a bit of sense in
So I'll be like, so because of that, I'll just like, anything. Now, those guys, you knew me in my NYC days. Anything you want to talk, I'll just pause for like a few seconds and boom, just like, as if the Spirit of God would just well up the words, you know, from my stomach to my head. And I'm just like, there's hardly anything in this world that I don't have scriptural reference.
No, that is the one. When I go to first met my mom, to put the way they see, I say, you brag a lot, my mom bring our scripture.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Please. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Are you humble? If you are humble, you'll be glad about my boasting. Amen. You know, so scripture can be me to that which I love it. I love how it will open your mind to think, you know, expose your mind to culture.
It can also be used as a tool of oppression.
So scripture, so many stories, and those stories, right, they help you. They just basically and most of our movies, like, they are written based on the scriptural stories of the background. It's good for your imagination.
Yeah, good for creativity.
It's good for creativity.
If you approach it from that perspective,
many people use it as may the Lord deliver us from idolatry of scriptures. Amen.
Amen. Bless you for that.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of The Barman's Barbecue. We hope we are able to provide some answers while raising more questions. It was a pleasure sharing this roasted lamb with you. Remember to rate this podcast, subscribe, and invite your friends to this feast. We love you!